Hello and happy April, or end of April, I guess. We're on break this week, and in place of our regular podcast, we've got another episode of Never Been a Better Podcast. Never Been a Better Podcast features a rotating crew of Austin Walker, Jeff Bacalar, Dan Reichert, and Abby Russell as they join myself and Alex each month over on our Patreon. This episode ran back in August of 2022 and features Jeff Bacalar and Dan Reichert and has been slightly edited to include ad breaks. If you want to hear more Never Been a Better Podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/nextlander where you'll find all of the episodes and more. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll be back with the regular Nextlander podcast next week. All right. I'm ready. And then it went like...
It's sick that you have an RGB going for no good reason. Is that just like what's connected to your basement light, or what's that about?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just a light that cycles. That's good. You're listening to the Never Been.
This is the intro
now.
Oh, we started.
Yeah. Oh, no. When I clap, when people hear that intro and they heard me clap, they know that I clap to start the podcast.
That's part of the intro.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What they usually don't know is you were doing tech stuff. Yeah, the boing boing is... Yeah. Oh, so you thought it was actually for something even more important than me getting ready to start. And that's why you did the boing.
Look, I'm just having fun over here.
Hey, I'm having fun over here too, man. Dan Reichert, how are you?
I have never been better. How are you?
I've never been a better podcast is what I would say.
There we go.
Take it a step further. Jeff Bacalar, how are you?
You know, I'm all right. I'm hanging in there, man.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Alex Navarro. Oh my God.
You have Describe for pen? The folks at home what Mr. Whoa. Navarro is doing, Vinny.
Navarro is ripping cotton over there.
Can you do that on a podcast?
I don't know.
We're getting loose, baby.
My goodness.
Okay. That's marijuana. Got it.
What state are you in right now, Alex?
Is a fucking state of bliss, right?
Is that your weed pen?
I don't know if it's legal
there
yet.
Altered state, baby.
Okay. I need some latitude and longitude to see if you're breaking the law, Alex.
I mean, you got
I've got weed shops in my neighborhood now. They are open for business on Steinway Street. It ain't that medical
or recreational
stuff. Whatever it is, they're selling it, and you ain't got to have a card for it.
All right, well, I'm going to hang up my... Call the 911 right now. So,
Okay.
Like you're on the up and up.
Yeah, you would call the cops, wouldn't you?
You know what? It's okay. It's okay. He's okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's actually legal.
Thanks, Janet.
I freaked the fuck out in sixth grade once. I was walking around my neighborhood and I saw these two punk kids. They were troublemakers for my bus. They were eighth graders and I was in sixth grade. And they were riding bikes around and they came up my cul-de-sac. And I distinctly remember one of the guys had a cigarette of sorts in his fingers. Mm. And I remember him taking a drag, pulling it out, blowing out blue smoke, and then going like, hey, do you want a hit? And me freaking out and going home and telling like, Mom, we have to talk to the cops. Like, it was definitely drugs. He definitely had marijuana. It was blue smoke. And my mom was like, what? And I was like, yeah, it's blue smoke. It had to be drugs. And she was like, I never smoked pot, but I didn't have blue smoke. But I remember being like adamant in sixth grade that like, how are we allowing this to happen in our neighborhood?
Society.
It turns out it was like a candy cigarette. Like those candy cigarettes that you puff through.
Those are
like
legal.
Blue smoke. Fuck.
The blue smoke, that's the good
shit.
He
was just trying to signal the jets not to drop the rockets. The rockets have been secured.
Exactly.
Those are flares. If they were flares, I would have been like, fine, you're doing this country a great service.
Popping smoke.
Yeah.
How's everybody doing? Doing well?
Good.
Yeah.
Great.
Thumbs up.
As well as I can be.
I'm glad to finally get you, Dan, and Bacalar back on a podcast. You know, just everybody together. It's... like the world needs to know this, you know, get this chemistry back, you know?
Yeah.
It never left. Anytime we get together, it's like we never stop doing the thing.
Yeah. I was listening to some, gosh, what was I listening to? It was some BS thing where somebody was like, I think Dan was saying that he doesn't scream
ever?
I don't think so.
And everybody else was like, no, that ain't true.
I've never seen so...
Screaming is... I'm not going to do it here because I have a microphone in front. I don't want to blow your ears out or anything.
Yeah,
but
no,
like,
don't blow my ears out.
Screaming is a very specific thing. I might have a voice that carries or something like that, but I don't scream. I don't think I'm a screamer.
Still...
Even in your more technical definition of this, I think you do occasionally scream, but what I do agree is that more often you are hollering.
Hollering.
Yeah. You are a hollerer.
We can split hairs. But
Kansas,
I'm sorry.
We holler, we don't scream.
Yes. I've never seen so many people simultaneously do a spit take in my entire life where everyone was like, I'm sorry, excuse me? Are you saying you do not scream? It was insanity.
That was good. That was you had messaged me, Dan, earlier and asked if Pizza Hut was pizza.
Yeah. No, Chinese food. I asked if it was Italian food.
Chinese food. Right. You asked me pizza was Chinese food. I said,
it's
what?
As much Chinese food as it is Italian food, honestly.
And then I said, no.
Of course not.
And then you messaged me, okay, I'll tell everybody. So I went to go be like, oh, what podcast is this? And then I tuned in and Dan's like, I don't scream. And I was like, okay.
Show me any evidence of me screaming in all the years of being
never
on
seen.
Microphone.
I've never seen.
I feel like that show's slowly turning into the show of like people trying to like best Dan in a way where like they're like everyone's trying to stump him or befuddle him or flummox him.
Good luck.
In a way,
it was a voicemail dump truck. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm not. And, you know, I think it's. I think that's probably where you know it's organically headed, but we have to. We have to reel it in a little bit because we just can't do that every week.
That was
week
back
in,
to
week
school.
Out.
That was a show that was pretty much dedicated.
It's exhausting.
I mean, is there a format or a show that can just be about defeating Dan Reichert in something or another? In maybe sort of like a win Ben Stein's money thing, but you don't win any money.
Like Soul
I like
Calibur.
That show.
You just call it like Race to the Bottom or something.
Yeah. There we go. All right.
You know.
I like the idea of hosting. Wait, would I be the host or the contestant on this game?
Well, they just have to beat you, and you can host the show if you want, but you have to be defeated in some way, in some challenge.
I think the challenges would be terrible. Like, I would be a show. I was just thinking about this the other day. We were at E3, and we were doing something, and you're like, let's just sneak into this thing, or like, let's just con our way into this thing. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I feel like extremely uncomfortable. Like,
and that thing? Disneyland.
That thing was announcing at the Staples Center. No, it was I forget what it was. Remember that? It was like the outdoor E3 thing. And
I mean, I've done that. I've been doing that since I was 14, trying to sneak backstage at WWE events, where I was like laminating my own press pass and trying to walk backstage and saying I was Shawn Michaels' cousin and like getting in arguments with security. I mean, I have a press pass right here, and they're like, dude, the press sites don't make their own passes. The arena does. If you had something from Kemper Arena, we would let you in.
You spelled WrestleMania wrong.
I would take like a JPEG from like WrestleZone.com. I would put it in paint, and I would print out like press pass, Dan Reichert, writer, and I would I took it to Kinko's, laminated it, got a damn lanyard, and tried to just walk backstage as like a 14-year-old in a Stone Cold shirt.
That's amazing.
It's truly incredible the amount, the degree to which your industriousness totally outpaces your rational thinking.
Yeah,
100%. It served me well. I don't know. I've never gotten in trouble.
You're so resourceful. You can come up with these like incredibly harebrained schemes that are like weirdly well executed for things that you could figure out if you spent 2 minutes thinking about it.
Well, I eventually got backstage at WrestleMania. I just had to get a job.
But not with that pass.
It was a long con.
It was a longer con, but yeah.
No, but like in a lot of ways, that sets you on the right trajectory. Like I really do. I do think
I'm trying to do it the right way.
All roads led to that. There was really, you know, that life chose you, right? Yeah, like that. There
for
was,
two
that
and
was
a half
it.
Years, and then I got.
Yeah, that was it. There was no way that Dan was going to leave this world without that having to come to fruition.
Say you were backstage at an event like that, and somebody came up to you that was 14 with a printed out press pass. How would you turn them around, and would you let?
Oh,
them
while
in?
I was.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a situation at WrestleMania this year where I probably almost would have gotten fired if I carried through with what I was going to do. So basically, I'm standing there, and since we don't have seats, really, you know, I was backstage, and so, like, I was kind of standing where all the cameras and stuff were, the hard cam, as they say. And so I see this guy down in, like, near the front row, and he's, like, standing up, and he's, like, blocking this woman's view. And this poor woman paid for these seats on the floor, and she's trying to see the ring. It's, like, the main event, and she's, like, I can't see anything. She's turning around, like, please, someone help me, like, looking for security. And then, finally, some security guy goes and talks to the jerk. And then, like, the jerk and the whole family is saying a bunch of stuff to the security guy, and the security guy kind of backs away. And then the dude is mad that he got, like, narked on or whatever, turns around to the woman and is like, fuck you, bitch, fuck you, and starts, like, she's trying to take pictures of the ring, and he's, like, trying to flex in front of the camera and flip her off so she can't get a picture. Like, he is, like, actively being a massive, massive asshole to this woman. And at this point, I'm like, why didn't they kick him out? He's clearly, yeah, like, antagonizing
and
this poor woman.
He's with his family?
Yes, and so he's with, like, two teenagers and maybe a wife, so right? Cool. I don't know who it is. But I'm like, what the fuck? And he's clearly just wasted and, like, basically, like trying to, like, go over the seats to, like, confront this woman who's just wanting to see the fucking thing. So I almost, as an employee, was going to go up to security and show him my badge and stuff and be like, hey, this guy's got to go. Even though, like, that is so far from what my job duties were at the time, obviously.
Yeah, that wasn't part of your
responsibility. Somebody needs to save this poor woman and everyone else behind her that can't see. No one does anything. And then the show ends. It was the night Austin wrestled. And as soon as it ends, a lot of people start leaving. I start walking backstage behind, like, Gorilla and where the stage is and all that. The motherfucker's back there.
What?
And it's like, you can't get back there unless you're an employee. And so I see, and then Trish Stratus comes walking around the corner, and this dude comes up. This way, she's a famous, like, Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I know her.
Female wrestler, yeah. So this guy goes up and, like, hugs her. And he's like, oh, you look so hot. You're looking great. And he's like, hugs what? Trish. And I'm like, how is he backstage? And he's, like, grabbing Trish Stratus. Like, what the fuck is going on? But she's, like, smiling. And I'm like,
uh-oh.
But, like, in a way that's not like, heh-heh, you know, like, she seems like, oh, yeah. Hey. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? Then he walks up to Undertaker and Michelle McCool, his wife, and hugs Michelle McCool. He's like, oh, you look so hot. And, like, shakes Taker's hand and stuff. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? Because, like, they would have red alarms going out like crazy if this was some dude who's clearly wasted. And then I see fucking Rey Mysterio come up without the mask, you know, like, all that stuff. And it was clearly, like, Rey Mysterio's family. And, like, I don't know if it was a brother or uncle or something, because when they did the Rey Mysterio 20th anniversary on SmackDown a couple weeks or months later, the guy was on SmackDown, like, with the family applauding Rey and stuff. And I was like, oh, that was a Mysterio. And I was about to try to kick him out of WrestleMania.
Like, that would not have. Okay. Like, morally, spiritually.
Sure.
You would have absolutely been in the right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Functionally, you probably ended up doing the right thing.
So wait. Yeah. Yeah. That would have been, like, real bad.
So, like, Rey Mysterio Jr.'s, like, brother or cousin is a total dick?
I don't know his name or anything. Obviously, like, there's some affiliate.
Know the
he knows a lot of people, apparently. And apparently, he was there. He was invited there and got a little rowdy. That would have been a messy situation.
Mm. So I wonder what he said to the security guard. He was like,
probably like, that's my brother. Like, or like,
I'm Rey Mysterio Senior or whatever.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yes,
you know,
I'm Lou Mysterio.
I'm the middle one.
Don't you know? Man.
Oh boy, yeah. So
what if he had turned around and it was in a mask and just started yelling, be like, oh, we've made a mistake.
Takes the mask off and he's 14 with a laminated badge.
And
he spelled Mysterio wrong.
No, that's great though, Dan. I'm glad all roads led to that, and I'm glad you got to do that.
Yeah,
I do. No, I'm endlessly blown away at the bullshit you are willing to do. So
why stop now?
Yeah,
I mean, this podcast, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look at that. You just told this story, and now I'm pretty sure my lights are flickering, and, like, there are sirens outside my. Yeah,
somebody
marched in here. Oh no,
won't end well. This won't end well.
This person's now standing in front of me with a giant sign. What the hell's going on?
Yes. It's giving me the 619.
I don't know what that means, but it's probably bad.
Alex knows.
Wrestling crowds always kind of scare me. I went to wrestling shows when I was in, like, the Boy Scouts. We'd go, and when I watched them,
WWF, WCW, or, like, the independent stuff.
It was probably WWF at the time. But when I watched them on TV, they always seem very into what's happening.
The crowd
would be the description.
Yeah, in a way that is, like, I don't know, like, more than, like, football or baseball. I mean, there you get some pretty painted up people at other sporting events.
That in football, there's a lot of overlap. Yeah,
you get a little less of it in some of the other sports.
Yeah. Look at all the passion. Like if you go to your average like video game subreddit or forum or anything like that, and look at all the obvious passion that people have. Like, and I say passion nicely because a lot of times it goes into a very like, you are way too serious about this.
Like the worst parts of the
right. There's
the
good
culture.
Fandom. There's people that take a fandom diplomatic. Too far. Yeah, yeah. And like that's the thing is like imagine if all those people on all those message boards could just fill like AT&T Stadium. And they're encouraged to yell. And it's like, that is going, like, you are seeing it all in person versus just yelling into the internet void, you know?
It's like if you had, like, a Zelda review score versus a Halo review score, and everybody showed up to watch them fight to
see
who's
you're going to stand
really...
in the middle of the ring and announce it, you know, in front of everyone.
In this corner, IGN's review of Halo 4. In this corner, GameSpot's review of Majora's Mask.
And people are like, drunk and have things to throw, and
What were the system wars if not just a series of incredibly bad promos being cut on one another over console loyalty?
All right, which system is Bret Hart and which system is Shawn Michaels?
I'm already lost again.
I think Bret's a Super Nintendo. I think Sean is like a Jaguar. No, that doesn't.
Vinny, I don't understand the calculus. Like, how do you convert wrestlers to consoles?
I mean, I don't know how that works. I don't know. You could probably do
Bret's
it for
a
hockey
player for sure. Sean, I'm trying to figure out.
Gretzky isn't GameCube.
Sean's the first
having
Xbox.
Is like the color associations because consoles mostly come in two or three colors, and most times when I think of a wrestler, I think Bret Hart, pink. Shawn Michaels, you know, like red and white.
Yeah, I think pink for sure. Yeah. With Hart. Yeah.
What would The Rock be? The Rock is like a.
He's an N64. He's an Xbox. He was on stage with the Xbox.
That's true. Vader is a Series X. Just got
Vader
the width and stuff. You know
who's Vader?
Not Darth Vader.
Big Van Vader. He's dead.
Yeah, Big Van Vader.
Kane is a virtual boy.
Yep. Kane's a virtual boy.
He gets it. All right, you hear in there.
I think Vader is like an original Xbox.
Okay.
Like. His hands are kind of like the Duke's, you know?
Yeah, I think Jericho might be a 360.
Okay.
All right.
Who's an Ouya?
An Ouya would be like Gilbert.
I don't know.
Gilbert?
Who that is, but okay.
Gilbert.
Did you mispronounce
Goldberg? No, he was the Goldberg parody played by Dwayne Gill. Goldberg was WCW and Gilbert was WWF's parody. He was a skinny guy who got scared by the pyro.
Okay.
It was very funny at the time.
Okay. Who's Goldberg?
Goldberg?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Just like what's a the high most end powerful, gaming PC.
What's the most powerful console that doesn't have the best CPU?
The PS3.
Yeah, the PS3.
Goldberg is totally the PS3.
It's
heavy. It costs too much money for what you actually get for it.
Goldberg is a launch 20 gig PS3.
Most of the ports aren't very good.
That's pretty good. Okay.
The best. This was worth it. But also, Dad's like, what? a console can't be those two things at once. I love how it was like, what's one that's really powerful but is also very bad?
Well, like, the graphics are great.
That's kind
it's
of
just
the
like,
PS3.
You can't handle too many things at once to remember too much.
Exactly. I think that's the PS3.
Yeah.
And they often misunderstood.
Against the locker all the time. It concussed itself every time you turned it on.
Yep.
A very misunderstood console, especially at launch.
Very heavy and like nobody, really know.
Great car collection on that PS3. Gran Turismo.
The controller, it was accidentally snapping people in half like constantly when
you
shouldn't
have
been.
If you dropped it on other consoles, it would constantly break them. Yeah. If you dropped it on your Super Nintendo, your Bret Hart, it would,
you would never use that Super Nintendo again.
Exactly. Yeah, this is one-to-one.
Did Goldberg eventually have to kind of like lose a little muscle mass and then slim down a little bit and forget his backwards compatibility?
Yeah, he couldn't do some of the moves he used to be able to do.
Yeah, just kind of leave that behind a little bit. You know, kind of moving forward here. Yeah. Well, I want to not talk about wrestling the entire.
Sure.
You should not have invited me and Dan
awesome.
On this.
You
that'd
take awesome. It where you want to go.
Let's go. What about keyboards? Hey, Dan, how do you feel about mechanical keyboards?
It's a very, I get it. That's a very small slice of the internet, and we don't have to exploit that for my enjoyment. So I'm not going
to
have you.
Well, what
do
would
that.
You
Thank
like
you.
To exploit for your enjoyment?
We could do a fridge joke.
Tell me a fridge joke. That's not is your fridge running?
I don't have any fridge jokes.
Have you interviewed a fridge recently? Are you? Yeah.
How's William Refrigerator Perry doing?
Nice.
Have you seen him lately?
Very good.
Some of that shit was on me. right? Like, I definitely leaned into that and brought it upon myself, uh-huh. right? Like, when I would go out to Vegas and I touch base with you guys, I would do it. I'd be like, yeah. fucking this, hanging out with fridges.
Is this a recent revelation for you?
Yeah, like,
no,
we
not
did
at
you
all.
Just come to peace with this?
No, well, maybe in a more sort of like publicly acknowledging it sort of way.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. But again, like, that's a thing that's followed me, and it's fine. It's all in good fun. I appreciate it.
How about kickstands?
Oh, well, look, for like console.
That died down. Yeah. That was a flash.
Yeah, that died down. Oh, yeah. I mean, for better, for sure.
It's been what? It's been 2 years?
Yeah. Since the buyout?
Since the CNET, no. Since he was at CNET, since he was an employee, CNET employee.
Yeah.
Number two.
I guess 2 years.
When the pandemic
was there for a very long time,
and you were out of the office, you were still... It was still CBS and CNET, right?
Yeah. So it's been a year and a half, more like. Yeah. Not two. Year and a half.
Time got weird in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's tough to really wrap your head around it in a meaningful way.
I saw Mark at your birthday party. It was great to see him. Mm-hmm. He seemed like he was doing well, but he's not there anymore either, right?
No.
Mark was an editor, producer.
Yeah. He was a Mark and Nick. Producer Nick, those two
Is
guys
Nick not
work
there
with
anymore?
Him. Nick left as well, yes.
Okay. They were both
popcorn guy?
Nope. Popcorn guy has a name. His name is Brian. I believe he is still around.
Well, he's Mr. Popcorn to you.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Can he bring me some popcorn?
You have to go to the office. You gotta.
I don't even know where that is.
Yeah.
He's graduated to cotton candy now. So you really have to.
That actually
that's
is
a big downgrade. That's a huge downgrade.
No, come on.
Cotton candy's garbage-ass food.
Yes, Dan, this might be the only kind of...
I'm not calling it, like, substantive. I just think it's good.
I think cotton candy's rotten.
That's the point.
It's actively bad. I would turn it down anytime somebody gave me some
cotton candy. You get that big thing and it looks awesome and you're kind of amazed that it all worked and you're like, this is a marvel of technology. This is how we got to the goddamn moon. This is how we beat the communists. And then you go and you put it up to your face and it just melts on your lips and your face and there's just rotten sugar all over it.
Sticky, there's no flavor to it. Like the idea, the flavor, like if you get cotton candy flavored jelly bellies, that's fine. Pleasant way to ingest food. Cotton candy itself is terrible.
it's the biggest tease food too, because
as soon as it
gets near your mouth, it just disintegrates into nothing.
I had a moment recently where like the cool thing, my kid is like very honest with trash food. I think he like has a palate early on where he like won't stand for shit that is like meant for kids and is just trash. And he had a cotton candy experience where he like, you know, we were on the boardwalk. We were so excited. We're like, oh shit, it's his first cotton candy. Here we go. He's going to love it. He takes a bite and he's like, this is the most disappointing thing I've ever fucking put in my mouth.
He said disappointing?
I put very out of his league words into my child's mouth. Okay. But no, he was basically like,
this sucks.
This doesn't taste how it should. Yeah. You know, like he was just clearly disappointed with the whole presentation.
It should taste like a giant ice cream cone. It looks like a big ice cream cone.
No, I don't. I think but he was right. It's garbage. And we're like, do you want this? Yeah. He's like, no, throw it away.
Good,
you know, like,
good on him.
Yeah,
I'm not
he
calling
got
it an upper tier sweep, but man, I just like garbage is just so mean.
But you said it was an upgrade from popcorn. Are you saying that cotton candy is better?
And I was making a joke.
What do you get in the movies? Sweet over something salty. I will always do that.
You were besmirching the good name of Brian, the CNET studio manager, and I made a crack that he got promoted from popcorn maker to cotton candy maker. And then you went on a rant where you're like, well, this has to be settled. Cotton candy is inferior.
You wanted to defeat Dan Riker. Prove to him that cotton candy ain't all that bad.
Yeah. So making cotton candy, I think, is an upgrade over running the popcorn machine, because making cotton candy looks fun. You spin that thing around and like all of a sudden you've got this masterpiece of like art, and it look I made Marge Simpson, and like it's just like the whole thing is cool. It's the
eating popcorn machine's all right. I've done that thousands of times.
Yeah, but what fun is that? But you like put the oil in, put the kernels in, and then shovel popcorn into a bag.
This is Dickie in retrospect, but we made our own fun back then, in that we would before a big rush, me and the other yahoos in the concession stand would be like, okay, let's see how many of the scoops of the like nuclear Nickelodeon orange like popcorn salt we can put into the thing before somebody complains. Like, and we would like bet on like, I bet we can do three before someone comes up. I bet it's going to be four. So the first rush, we would put one extra scoop in there. And no one said anything. And keep in mind, one scoop is a lot. Popcorn at AMC is very salty. And we'd get to three, and no one said anything. Four, five, and then somebody would come back and be like, this is inedible. And we would take it and taste it, and it really was. It like hurt your tongue to eat a single kernel of this. Dude, but like, she was the one person that said anything. I'm sure we've met thousands of people that popcorn.
I'm sitting through Avatar, and this is this is inedible. This is bad. Dude,
I love how fucked up that is, and how, and what's more fucked up is how many people were just like polite about it. No, either they threw it. You ruined so many people's night.
Yeah, it's like it's like a $25 thing too. Where you're like,
I would not recommend that. That was a dicky move.
This is Present Day Vinny again. We'll be back with more Never Been a Better Podcast after this quick break. Today's show is brought to you by Squarespace. Alex Navarro.
Vinny Caravella.
Squarespace.
Yes. Websites. You heard of them?
I love the internet. I know this about me.
Absolutely not true.
I love the internet. Squarespace is out there making it easy to create beautiful, engaging websites for you or your business. Now, listen, we've got a business, man, and we should get a website.
I think we should get a website.
Yeah, this is a do as I say, not do as I do. We have been in the process of trying to get a website. Squarespace has a lot of tools that I have found out from going to Squarespace that make these things easy. They have Squarespace Blueprint, where you can choose from different templates. I think, Alex, you even set this up on there for us during the trial of like, well, let's make a podcast website. And you bada bing, bada boom. You made a podcast website. Yeah. You can go there. They have a bunch of different tools tailored to your brand or your business, and it's optimized for every device. You could check out the sites for mobile very easily, switch over to mobile view, or go full screen desktop. It's actually, the tools are really, really easy. They have flexible payments, which I thought this was very cool. You can have your customers pay with credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, all the different things the people want to pay with. You can set it up in Squarespace for your clients. And Alex, this actually tickled me. Did you know you could upload video content, put it behind a paywall?
No.
Yeah, you could do video behind a paywall over on Squarespace. If, let's say, you were making a website that had a paywall video thing, you could do that on Squarespace. They've got a bunch of different stuff. You could set up calendars, invoicing, all sorts of things. Squarespace has it built in. So I bet right now, Alex, you're asking yourself, well, how can I get in on this?
I am.
I've got an answer for you. You can go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/nextlander to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/nextlander to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Thanks, Squarespace.
I feel like I got some fun stories going on in my life right now.
Yeah, tell me one.
How much you think? Okay, so these fucking bugs, right?
The lanterns.
Yeah.
Lantern
so
flies.
I can't tell. Like, I can't understand if they're actively destroying certain trees on my property.
Okay.
Like, we had a wave. You said you had fun stories.
Yeah, but this, we'll get there.
Okay.
Either way, so I had no idea. This is more of like a home ownership situation sort of story. Apparently, there are like two species of trees in the United States that are actively dying off. And like, wherever they are,
from the lantern
they're
flies.
Just, I don't know if it's related to them. I can't find any conclusive evidence that says one way or the other. But I do know that ash trees are dying.
There's the emerald ash borer. That's a bad one. That's a bad
one. And like, they're just dying. Mm-hmm. And I can't find out why. All I can find out is like arborists are in agreement that ash trees dying everywhere. Yeah. So, you know, I'm like starting, you know, once you hear that and I have a huge one in my front lawn, I started looking around the neighborhood and you're like, holy fuck, every one of these trees, it's the middle of summer. It should be bursting with leaves, right? Every one of these trees is fucking dead.
That's a bummer. This is sad. What are you doing?
I'm not happy about it.
Why
what
are
you
killing
mean?
The tree? Well, the story is super depressing.
Well, yeah, it's sad when a tree dies. Some trees are also like bad. Some trees are like invasive and they suck the nutrients from other trees. Anyway, I have to get that big ass tree removed. Oh, I have to get one in the backyard and then another one they got to like chop up because I think like animals are jumping onto my roof because the tree's too close to it.
How much does that run you to get rid of a bunch of trees?
There you go. That's what I want to.
I just had a tree removed.
So two gigantic trees.
Yeah.
And one like serious pruning going on. What do you think?
Okay.
Let's ask Alex. I feel like Alex is the most detached.
Let me give his guess
will be the most fun.
Let me give you one follow up, which is, are you getting it stumped as well or just.
We're grinding the stump.
Animal Crossing shovel in there.
One of them, I do want to plant another tree there. So I got to find out like what the move is for that. But
I've got a number in mind already.
I have a number in mind, but it might be all the way off. I truly don't know.
I'm just curious as someone who like, you know, I want to know. I want to know what people
think. As someone
think
who has
going...
never tasted suburban air.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you're doing the same company for all of them?
I was raised in the suburbs, you know.
You were, and you've been to my house. Like, you know. So what do you think it costs?
God.
Two huge. They're huge.
I feel like the
closest... they're taking them out too. They're taking them away.
No, they're going to leave him there. What do you mean?
Well, that's what everyone does with my leaves. So I got eight mountains of leaves in my fucking woods. But anyway.
What? Oh, you have woods. Yeah.
I got woods. He doesn't have woods. He has like, I don't know. There's like cul-de-sacs nearby.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. So the closest thing I can draw on is that I kind of know how much it costs to get a bunch of trees, giant eucalyptus trees, topped around my parents' house.
Mm. Okay.
Which they had to do because
they
were having heavy rains after drought, which meant that the earth got really soft, and then one of them almost fell on their house.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah. So they had to make them less tall because they were going to fall over.
Got it.
This could be way off. I'm just going to say like $10,000.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I was going to say five.
No. Okay. Wow. You're all.
Are we like Price is Right over or Price is Right under?
Alex, you're way over.
Okay, that's good to know, and that actually makes me happy.
So I was surprised with how cheap I guess this all is too.
What'd you get?
$3,000.
Ooh, oh, that's good. Bad. Dude, they charged me like $4,000 to fucking like pull a bunch of weeds around here.
Wait a minute. Did you find these guys on Craigslist?
No. So they come highly recommended. Here's the thing. We were only going to get one tree removed, and that one tree was going to be $2,500. And then I'm like, dude, take a walk around the house. Like, tell me what else needs to go. And then one of the other trees was clearly dead. And I was like expecting him to point that out.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know what? If it's coming out there to do the one tree, that's like the most expensive thing. Yeah. You throw in another tree and it's like, all right, we're here, you know? But I
already brought out the equipment, so.
Yeah, it's like, I already got here.
They did half a tree by me and it was like $1,200. So that, I buy that.
But the other thing is you got to pay in cash. Like if you pay in cash.
Cash?
Oh, you did find these guys on Craigslist.
No, but dude, that's any contractor.
So
anyone
like
to give you a discount if you
doing
pay
that,
cash.
Not paying taxes, is that the deal? Is that
exactly what they're doing? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Or they're writing up an invoice for less.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
When I did mine, I think they explicitly said, "Hey, you could make this check out to the company, but if you make it out to just me, I'll charge you like $300 less."
Exactly.
Did you do that?
No, I made it out to the company. I was like, fuck you. I'm just making it out to this company. We all run a business
here.
Wait,
are you liable for anything if you do
that?
Like, are you doing anything illegal?
Here's the thing. What the situation Vinny is describing is shady as hell because you need to have like receipt of the transaction on your end. Like,
why?
I will get an invoice from the contractor.
We
like,
got
I already
invoice.
Have it. I already have it. Right. Well, then you're probably all right. If it says you paid on it, and it's like,
it was more like, hey, I'm going to report this through my company or I'm just going to cash this in my bank.
Sure.
And that's the difference.
Sure.
But like,
sure.
You know, I don't know. We were just like, we're okay. We'll just go.
What's the risk to you though by doing the cheaper thing?
I don't think
there isn't. As long as he has a receipt for the whole thing from the company that's a licensed company to do the work, he's fine.
Yeah. Okay. It wasn't $300. It was like a percentage less, but it was like, you know, it's like, listen, I get it. You're either going to have to declare this for taxes or you're just going to like push this into your bank account.
Where we live, like, I'm sure it's like this everywhere.
Yeah.
Everyone has a way to save you some money by doing a thing that you're not exactly sure is above board, but No harm, no foul.
It's like getting in the cab and they're like, oh, look at the credit card machine's broken again. Oh,
you pay cash.
You got cash. We could go to an ATM and do the thing you do with the cash thing.
It's every cab in California before Uber.
Yeah. Look at that machine. It doesn't work anymore. I don't know what's going on here. You got cash? No.
Okay. I remember when the cabs in Manhattan turned to credit cards. Hmm. Do you remember?
With the thing in the back?
Yeah, they were freaking out. They were like, don't you dare pay for this cab with a credit card.
I see you back
I'm
there.
Like, sir, your cab has this amazing new technology. And it's like, motherfucker, give me cash. And you're like, all right, I guess the percentage is just not in your favor, is it?
Yeah.
And then I think they fixed that. But,
so do you remember, you must remember, before they, because I think now, I haven't taken a cab in New York in a long time, but you just couldn't get a cab out to the outer boroughs. It just used to not exist.
And try getting them to Connecticut like I've done a bunch.
Who does that?
Nobody wants to drive all the time. Ubers. It sucks.
No, Ubers are fine. Like, an Ubers will do
But even Ubers, or I tried to take an Uber to like LaGuardia or Newark or something from Connecticut. They will call me and be like, where are you going?
I want to pause for a second and just say, I'm trying to go from New York City to another New York City borough. I'm not trying to go to another state and be like,
I'm trying to go from halfway up Connecticut to fucking Newark. Newark.
That's and they have look. That's
two
the thing.
States.
I know. The first time, like after the pandemic kind of eased up in WrestleMania and stuff, it was my first trip, my first WrestleMania. I got my suit on and everything. I wake up with plenty of time to go. Literally, no cars available, and I'm sitting there like I'm going to miss my flight to WrestleMania.
Is there
my
not
first
a,
one I'm working?
Does Connecticut not have an airport?
There's Bradley, which is really far away and doesn't go a lot of places. Mm. There's Stewart, which only goes to like Iceland. And then you got LaGuardia is actually the fastest one by Uber. But I have found that if you get on the Metro North, you take it all the way down to Grand Central or Harlem.
Yes,
you can take an Uber
from
there. When I went to Kansas City, it's like 3 hours getting to the airport and then 3 hours getting to Kansas City by plane, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Dan, where you live, it's a little out there. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I've learned that.
So,
except you can get to Iceland real
long. No, I sympathize with like the Uber driver who's like, well, fuck that. I'm not driving seven hours
eventually.
But I'm not you're not gonna get a return trip that's just like I just gotta find that one guy who's going from Connecticut to Queens.
I do it from Newark, like I'm at baggage claim, I'm like, oh, I hope someone wants to go to fucking halfway up Connecticut.
I mean, every now and then you'll catch a fish, but no, they don't want to do that.
Maybe you get the one guy who's like, I live in Connecticut, let's go.
Yeah, that's what you got to hope for. But you're right. There was a time when yellow cabs just did not want to leave the island.
They'd peel out. You'd get in a cab, and I've had a cab driver once say, they'd be like, where are you going? Be like, going to Astoria. And be like, get out.
Oh, yeah, no,
where's
sorry.
That?
that's not happening anymore.
That happened to me like 7 years ago. Like, that wasn't even like, that's a fairly recent thing that they stopped doing that.
Don't they have like green cabs or
they
or
do.
Like
they have green ones that are supposed to go inner borough, but like those are almost always in the other four boroughs. You never see those in Manhattan.
The thing that was great about Astoria and Long Island City at the time was if you went, it was usually at night I needed a cab, right? So it was usually like 11 or 12 and I'd be like, hey, you going to Astoria? And I'd be like, yeah, get in. I live over there. Like most of the cab drivers were heading back that way anyway. I was like probably 7 times out of 10 their last fare, and they were just dropping me off.
There's a whole section of this neighborhood that is just cab depots and mechanics.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right. Mm. Yeah, yeah. So either they were dropping the cab off, or they were just going home. So I'd usually catch that. Like, yeah, all right, yeah, I'm gonna call it a night. Let's go. Which was good.
My dad was over this weekend, and whenever he's around, obviously cabs come up.
Well, you gotta tell the people why.
He just retired.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, just retired. So he ran for many, many, many generations, decades rather, not generations. For many decades, he's
immortal, my dad.
Yes, he's 111. He ran a taxi brokerage company. So he would like facilitate the sale of medallions and insure taxi cabs and black cars, which are basically the sort of short term for short slang for limos. And you know, obviously when Uber came to town, it disrupted my dad's work in a big way, but we were talking to him about that weird moment, like when Uber came to town. And you know, I lived in Hoboken for most of the time that I was in that area, and if you wanted to get to Hoboken in a car from Manhattan, no one would run the meter, because if you ran a meter, it would be like $12 and you'd be fine. They all charged a flat rate because there was some regulation that stated if you crossed the Hudson or you had to do a flat fee. So the market was basically like $50 to $60 for that flat fee. So if you know, if you were sharing a car with four people, you're like, all right, whatever, we don't have to go on the train, we can do this. But when Uber came to town, there was like a 10-month grace period where, you know, Uber was brand new. It was this novelty and they weren't charging for the toll. And they were just like driving you to Hoboken. And I was paying like $14 to get home.
Wait,
in
that's
an Uber.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it was insane. And there was also like all these, you know, if you remember when Uber came to fruition, it was like tons of coupons, tons of incentives. They would like reimburse you for stuff. It was the Wild West. And I just remember like not taking a train home for months because it was so cheap to take an Uber. And then they started doing like the $20 Hudson fee. And then before you knew it, you were probably paying like $40, $50 again.
Man, that's...
Yeah.
Some of the stuff in Jersey with cabs is a real racket. Mm. Cabs out of Newark.
Like, do not ever take a cab from Newark.
Holy
like,
cow.
I cannot stress that enough.
Count, do you count Ubers or specifically cabs?
Ubers are fine.
Okay.
Do not take like a yellow car
Why?
Away from Newark because you will get ripped off in a way you've never been ripped off.
I really. Live in Jersey and took a cab from Newark and it was like $70.
Oh, dude, I remember I used to like tell you, I used to be like, what are you doing? Like, why are you just not like, Ubering?
Well, because it used to be illegal. Because at Newark, it used to be illegal for the cars. And you're like, no, what you do is from
this
the,
is what I would tell
yeah,
you.
You'd be like, from the plane, after you land, you use your special code word and you're like, the eagle has landed, and get a car. But then you got to meet them at a departures, not arrivals.
Right.
And you got to like talk to the guy on the phone and be like,
and get in the front seat.
Get in the front seat and you have to be like, and Mary's act like you know doing him. Great. And you know, like be like, okay. And you have to not let him get out of the car and you put your
Wolfie's
bags in.
Wolfie's fine, honey. When are you coming home?
And then you have to give him a hug and a kiss and then
eyes wide shut party you're trying to get into.
Like, now look, this last part is weird, but if you want to get an Uber, this is what you got to do. When he gets out of the car, just give him a nice fucking hug. All right? A nice hug and a kiss on the cheek. And that's, then you go.
You want to grab his son a little? You can do that.
Cop, as soon as you give that guy a peck on the cheek, cop ain't gonna think twice about what's going
on.
Cop
goes
there.
Up to Bacalar, is like, "Is that really your husband?
Kiss him again.
Give him a kiss. Is that really
tongue?
That's it. That wasn't real. I'm taking you in.
Hands behind your back.
Yeah, man. It was illegal for Ubers to pick up from Newark, and so there was this whole. But everybody was doing it. It was just this weird thing, and I never wanted to participate in it because you wind up having to be like, all right, I'm not going to actually stop the car. I'm going to keep going. You have to do a running jump into
I'll
the car.
I'll pop the trunk if you want to fling your bag in there.
It was dicey for a little bit. It was a little dicey.
But yeah, using the yellow cabs out of Newark, you have to stand in this weird line. They have a fare book, which you have to kind of like go and book a fare, like you're booking a horse to bet on. And then you get like a coupon they're supposed to give to the person. And then the person would just do loops around like the George Washington Bridge over and over again to be like, well, it's like $85 in tolls. Be like, yeah, man, because you just keep going through the toll thing. And it, like by the time you get home, it was like $90 or something, 70 or 90 bucks to get home. And it's like 15 minutes. 20 minutes?
Yeah.
It's bananas. Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully they fix some of that. That's
it is. It's all good now.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I
just flew out of there. It's all good.
I refuse to believe that anything in New Jersey could possibly be a racket.
Yeah. No, no.
No. What do you mean?
It's just way clean. Being a cabbie, the growing up on Long Island, the guy across the street from me was a cabbie. And like, I remember he had his own medallion, and it was like a huge deal. Everybody on the block would always talk about it. Oh, man.
Oh, let's see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Show us. Kids?
Show us.
Oh, everybody knew. Like, even the kids knew.
Kids knew
like,
this weird system?
Oh, man. We knew about it. Like, oh, yeah, he's got his, you know, like, he's got his own medallion. Like, that's because he parked the cab in his driveway and be like, and like, even as a kid, I knew that was like, damn, man. Like, those medallions are, that's serious business. And so, I mean, the guy worked his ass off. And
yeah.
I don't know what was going on in Newark, though. They pushed it too far.
It's really interesting. And I think, you know, I have obviously a unique insight into that world. It seems like obviously it was super corrupt at some point. And then, you know, I don't, you know, there's all these like purist people who are like, oh, you know, the yellow cab in New York City, it's like one and one, you know, it's one to one. They're like the Yankees, you know, like people are so horny about like legacy taxi, you know, so that sort of like thing. But I don't know. I don't think cars should belong in the city at all. I think New York should be, it is a very walkable city and you should not have cars there probably. That's how I feel now.
Yeah, I don't take cabs much, mostly A, because, you know, I'm just never in the city anymore. But even at the time, I mostly felt, unless I had a bunch of stuff, when I was doing Christmas shopping in the city, I would sometimes take a cab because taking all that stuff on the subway was just a pain in the butt. But, you know,
God, I was imagining you like loaded up with bags from Bloomingdale's, just like tripping over yourself as like, you know, the fucking, like, he's got, you know, like, movie snow is going behind you.
Yeah. He's got a Santa hat on and he's just like wishing everyone a Merry Christmas. He's like, oh yeah, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
And the cab finally pulls over and I'm like, oh, thank goodness. And I open the door and somebody else, a business guy, runs in and takes
my
cab.
Get out of my way.
And I'm like, aw, Merry
takes
Christmas.
Takes off, hit the puddle, soaks
yeah.
you.
Yeah. That's right.
But then jolly old Santa Claus comes up to you, pulls you out of the muck, and reminds you of the spirit of Christmas before asking you for $10.
And then we get in his sleigh and ride off. But yeah, the I was very much a I never had cash on me, but B, you know, subway. I just did the subway I'd walk.
Yeah.
Unless, you know what? I'm a liar. If I had to get across town, I'm taking a cab because New York City just never
nothing goes across. Nothing goes across in New York.
It's not an east-west place.
No, really is. It's just all you gotta do is add like a couple of things, and like,
everything
we can really
in Manhattan
solve this
is north-south. Everything in the other boroughs is east-west, and never the twain shall meet.
Yeah, you can't get from Brooklyn to Queens, from Queens to Brooklyn, without taking 4 days.
Yeah.
And you can't get from the east side to the west side, west side to
no
the east side.
No one's ever been to Staten Island ever. No. No one can prove that anyone's been there.
The thing I couldn't believe about trains when I lived there was that, like, you know, all of them pretty much have these huge staircases or escalators that you got to go up, and you would see these people with strollers. You would see, like, just, a mom, and, like, they would need to get help or whatever, carry this giant-ass stroller up all this stuff. Like I guess, Backlar, when you had, was Dylan a kid in the city? Like, was he a baby in the city or Hoboken? So were you having to do that?
Yeah, we were just, there was an elevator at the Hoboken Path.
Did it work?
And that, yeah. What's up?
Did it actually work?
Yeah, it was always working.
Oh,
and
wow.
There's an elevator at 33rd. So we, you know, we took advantage of that. I mean, yes, I've seen that a million times and it's not easy for sure.
That.
There are elevators. They're not as pervasive as stairs.
And they don't always
but,
work.
They don't always smell like
urine.
Well, it's because there's piss in there.
Okay.
A little pro tip. Uh-huh. There for you, but no, yeah, it's not built for that always.
Speaking of piss,
here we go.
No, go ahead.
I want to page the house doctor since we got Vinny on the call here.
Okay,
and,
okay.
See how you would handle this situation.
Yes,
okay?
Hold on, let me go get him.
Okay, yeah. Backlar has heard part of this. Okay, so I'm going down to my basement. And you helped me a lot with my questions about the basement before I moved in, Vinny. Mm-hmm. And so I start going down and I start noticing on the ground, and I got some like blue gym mats in like the gym area and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I notice these like yellowish, dry, like quarter size things on the blue mat. And then I'm starting to see it on the concrete, and then I'm seeing like little like brown things on the ground. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And at first I'm thinking like, is this like some corrosive thing dripping from my pipes? And I would look up, didn't see anything there. And I was like,
yeah, pipes above it though.
There are pipes above it. And so that's why the first time I saw this, it was at a spot where pipes had leaked before.
Okay.
And so I was like, oh, is that the problem? And I did some whole epoxy thing and electric tape and made it better. But it looked weird. It looked weird. And it dried. And when I tried to broom it away, it was just like dust, just like asbestos or something, you know?
Okay,
and I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I start seeing more and more and more. And this is like the last couple of weeks. And then I really freaked out. I can send you pictures. I've seen pictures.
You don't want them.
Okay. Of what looked like on the gym mat, like you cracked like just the yellow of an egg yolk, but but it was wet still. It was wet and it was on the blue. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And so we start wondering, like, okay. And I start noticing, too, I'm seeing a bunch of mouse traps on the ground that I didn't set. So
wait, what?
Okay, wait, wait,
yes,
wait.
This just threw me for a loop. What the hell?
There's an easy explanation here. Okay. Basically, there's the concrete walls, and then up by the wood, you know, the ceiling or whatever, there's like a gap. And so obviously, the previous owners had put mouse traps down, and they had fallen down. So something had knocked down the mouse traps.
Oh, okay.
So I start thinking about, like, it's an animal or something down there. And I'm thinking, like, this is maybe mice. You know, there were mouse traps. Obviously, there's evidence of
mice. Kicking mice traps, just kicking them down and being like, fuck you!
Yeah.
I was going to say, what you're describing, though, doesn't sound like a mouse.
That's the thing. So I start sending it to my mom, sending it to, you know, pictures, like, what is this? What is it? It's like, yeah, that pile's too big to be mouse shit, because mouse poop is the tiniest little thing. I've seen that.
Yeah.
This is, like, bigger, like, thin, stringy, did it, like, poop.
Did it kind of look like bird shit?
Yeah, it kind of sounds like bird shit.
I think so.
Not,
I think that's
quite, a little long. I think some pictures.
No, that's okay.
They
it's
are
like
but
the
then,
consistency
the yellow,
of it.
Do you have a
yellow? Right. Was a bad thing. And it, again, it looked like a yolk. It was still wet and it was new. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, and what
and,
it tastes
there was
like.
Nothing above that.
You're
spot.
Describing everything else.
Yeah. So I start asking around, and I forgot who first brought it up. I think it was my Discord brought up that it could be a snake. And I
that's
tweeted
what I
about
thinking.
It, and I start talking to a herpetologist reached out to me.
I'm sorry, what?
A herpetologist, someone who works with reptiles.
Gotcha, okay. Yeah.
Don't
and
ask
I sent
why.
Pictures to him, and he confirmed. He said, yes, that looks like snake poop. That is, and what looked like, we thought it might be mouse vomit or raccoon vomit, or we didn't know what the fuck it was. That is urate, which urate is technically kind of like snake pee, I guess. So there is a snake in my basement.
Rad.
At least one. And so
no,
I'm
is
trying
rad?
To figure out that situation. I have not seen any mice.
Okay. Yeah, because it's eating the mice.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And how
it could also be eating bugs, but yeah, that's
there's,
the more
there's
likely
bugs
case.
Down there for sure.
Yeah.
Have you checked on the newts?
I have not seen them. There are bugs where the salamanders were.
Oh, the salamanders.
And
they're
like a spider web over there.
You got a lot of wildlife down there.
I do. It makes the workouts exciting.
The real wild rats down there, yeah.
So I got some glue traps and stuff, and I got some where you're supposed to be able to like, well, yeah, because I heard afterwards, I talked to the herpetologist, and he said, well, that's actually
great.
Like they'll dehydrate and stuff. But I'm down there every day, and I got some stuff that says that like, okay, so with these, basically, you just put this little bit of oil over it, and then you can like let them go. And so like, if I'm down there every day, so and I'm checking first thing every morning, so I'll just take it out front, you know, take it to the woods or something.
They're nasty.
I mean, there are certain kinds of snakes you probably don't want to handle, even if they're attached to a glue trap. But you know, the more I'd say the likelihood it's one of those is not super high.
We looked it up. There are 14 species of snake in this area. Two of them,
and
are
you
venomous.
Have all of them.
Yeah,
two are venomous.
What are the two that are venomous?
Two of the 14.
Are
I don't like those odds.
Yeah,
I don't know which ones they are.
Okay,
but it's almost. It sounds like it's definitely a snake down there. So like,
are you sure?
What
you
does
like,
Vinny?
Hold up pictures of their poo against what you had to kind of like compare notes.
Yeah, yeah. So what is the house doctor? What do you do in this situation?
Well, if it's an albino snake, you want to capture it, and then you want to make sure you get its power. You know,
like, okay,
those are very rare.
You eat that under the waterfall before you have sex with Eva?
Yep.
Okay.
That's what I do.
I see,
I'm not here to say what
so
everybody
pour
else
the
should
blood
do.
Into a shot glass,
yeah,
and then immediately shoot it, and then you will be very virile.
Hell yeah. All right.
What did the reptilian like expert tell you to do?
Herpetologist.
Well, that's like literally
he told
herpes.
Me,
okay.
He told me to just go down there and like it should be just safe to grab with your hand and take it out to.
So it's probably like a garter snake or something like a
he
little,
thought it was something like that or like a black snake or something that was like not a serious thing and that like you could grab with your hand or if you want to a glove. I've actually got some like you know the stuff that for like old people to grab stuff with a trigger on it. You know I got one.
Oh,
of those
that'll
guys.
Be a fun.
Yeah.
That'll be a good exercise.
You what a TikTok stuff.
So that's
that
the plan
be.
If I see it.
Yeah.
And he told me like oh they like to hide under like big flat things. So I lifted up some boxes. Me and Bonk went down there and lifted up all the gym mats and stuff and didn't see it down there. So like I haven't seen it. So I'm just kind of hoping the glue thing works and we can get it out there the next day, you know?
Do you like when you're looking under the boxes, do you like steal yourself? Do you do a mental vision of it before you lift the box up so you don't freak out when you see it?
Prep yourself. It's like when I lived in an apartment in Minneapolis and every single time I threw the garbage into the thing and a raccoon would jump out and it would just scare the shit out of me. Not a raccoon or a squirrel. So every single time you lift it, you're like, oh shit, it's gonna come.
You're in his home, okay? He's more scared of you than you are of him.
That's true. That's true.
So a snake, man, we had a snake in the backyard. I think that's cool as hell. Like the snakes in the backyard are rat. Every time I see them, I'm like, the only thing is my dog will go out there and I just bring the dog in. But, Yeah, I don't know. Snake in the house is I have not had that one. That's like some Florida shit.
I had a snake in the house for like 35 years, man.
I was going to say,
like 33 years, but yes.
Yeah.
That snake is still alive.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it's we were actually like relieved when like we realized it wasn't like a weird rodent situation, or if it's just like a snake, it's like, it doesn't sound too bad, right?
Yeah.
I mean, apart
yeah.
I don't like that it like shoots and
shits on stuff or whatever. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's coming up the stairs. It's probably not. It sounds like a snake's trapped in your basement, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, probably.
It wants out. Yeah, I promise you.
I mean, it got in somehow. I don't think you like.
Yeah. That's weird. Where's it get in? I mean, I guess there's gaps.
Wall or something.
Yeah,
there's
water gets in. Plenty of water gets in.
No, I know. Well, yeah. Still, you still have water problems.
Water in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
anytime it rains.
If it rains, we got the grading done and everything. It was gonna be $10,000 to fucking waterproof the whole thing, but he was like, it's not like.
I think a lot of basement waterproofing is kind of a scam anyway.
Well, I mean, he was honest about it. He was like discouraging me from doing it. He was like, you don't need finish to spend $10,000 right now. You know, I'm not gonna finish it. No.
Yeah,
I gotta finish my basement.
It's looking nice.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. This is this one like 2-foot by 2-foot section right behind me. It's great. Alex has been down here. It's not. Yeah.
Is that when you Def Jammed?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
When we broke Vinny's Xbox, finally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That drive just died.
Just gotta turn it upside down like we did for Shenmue.
Didn't work. Tried it.
No.
This is a different kind of broken, my friend.
Yeah. Hard drive went.
Oh damn.
Yeah, yeah. It just won't boot up. I got to do some like serious work on it. But yeah, I want to get this thing done down here. Are you glad you didn't do the office in the basement or the studio in the basement?
Oh my God, yes. Like the boiler being loud and the water coming in. Snakes. And like bugs and like fuck. And also we didn't have anything to do with this room here. And it's like, why this is going to be a guest bedroom and just sit empty for like 350 days a year, you know, like fuck that. So
yeah. And you know, and then your guests have to sleep in the basement. That's all. Yeah,
no, we have a delightful blow up mattress. You can ask Mike Mahardy.
A delightful
and my father.
It's one of the best
that we put in the basement.
That's a very nice blow up mattress. I got two of them actually.
Backler, are you going to do your basement? Your basement's huge. You going to redo anything down there, or are you just going to leave it?
I don't know. There's like a lot of things we want to do. I can't really figure out what the first thing we're going to tackle is. We'll probably renovate one of the bathrooms downstairs first.
Dang, that's a job.
Yeah, you got a crazy bathroom thing down there with like 18 doors that go into it.
Yes, 18 doors. It was a rare thing. It was very popular in Jersey in the 80s.
The door city there,
You know, like so first
the
thing
mob
I do
was
is
heavily involved in the door industry at that time.
It's a union thing.
Yeah,
you need these 18 doors. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, Vinny, you would love this. So Lucy James is going to be in town in a couple weeks, and the first thing she says is like, she's like, because she's obsessed with Sopranos now. She watched the whole series and she's like, you know, she's like, I can't wait to go to Jersey.
Do they still do those tours?
What's that?
Do they still do those tours?
They might. But she's like, you got to take me to the Sopranos house. And I'm just like, oh no.
Is that a real place?
Yeah, you can go see that house, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a little north of me. But it was funny because it was like, she's like, I said, you know, if you want, we could just drive out of the Lincoln Tunnel to my house. Mm-hmm. And that's basically the opening credits. The Sopranos.
Like, I can just play the song.
Yeah, put the song on.
Like, yeah, like, it'll be that. Like, we'll smoke cigars and we'll just get there and it'll be fine.
I'll call you Marone. It'll be great.
Yeah, like, whatever you need to get your rocks off, like, we'll do this for you. You know, like, it's just very funny how that opening fucking you know, credits is just glorifies the New Jersey Turnpike in a way that nothing else should.
What does a better job, being John Malkovich or Sopranos?
Sopranos, dude. Yeah. I think the Malkovich thing is very funny and weird and has its place. But I mean, the Sopranos opening theme is just
good.
You know, I never really watched that show.
I didn't either. I watched the first 3.5 seasons. Then I stopped.
Oh, that's,
I
never watched
like that's half the show.
That's like a lot of Sopranos.
I think I need to go back to it though. Like, I feel like all those like what do you call it? Not bucket list, but backlog type stuff. Like, I'm finally halfway through Seinfeld, and that's been great to do for the first time. And like, I feel like Sopranos is up there as far. Like, I've seen all these weirder. Like, I've seen all of Oz, but I haven't seen all of the Sopranos. You know, like
that's
weird. Fix that.
It really just depends on when you had HBO.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like Oz DVDs, even like Oz and Wire and all that stuff. All the HBO stuff I was watching on DVDs in college. You know.
Mm. Did you recently go through Seinfeld?
I'm halfway through season 4 right now. Okay. I just watched one right before this, actually. Yeah,
I recently watched like all of season 1 and 2, and I was you know, in the time you don't realize it, but I was shocked how that show did not have its footing in season one. Like that show
no, not at all.
So weird and different.
Few did. Few yeah. did. I mean, they, like the whole relationship with Jerry and Elaine was way more of a thing, you know, yeah. like, and it just becomes not a thing. And like the characters aren't really dialed in like Costanza yeah, is and, you know, fully, you know, what he is. He's not Larry David yet. I think
it's kind of the thing that they mirror in when they get to the episodes about them doing the version of the sitcom in the show where it's like, yes. they're trying to format it in a way that seems more like a regular sitcom. Mm-hmm. And then after yep. a while, they realize they can just abandon that, and that makes it way better.
But that's what's so crazy to me is like that is a meta thing that like when I think of like 90s sitcoms, I don't think of like them getting meta. Was like that wasn't a concept people talked about back then. And so like to do a show about making that show is like kind of a crazy thing for like network TV in 1993. You know?
Yeah, I think that had been like. Flirted with before.
Like Simpsons probably did some stuff. We're talking like jokes about Fox or whatever, but
sure, yeah. sure.
But you know, the 30 yeah. Rocks of the world did not exist yet.
No. Yeah. Going back to Sopranos real quick. Yeah. I only watched it once all the way through. My brother like watches it all the time. He's obsessed with it. I know a lot of people who just like have to occasionally rip through that entire series. I just can't do it. I think some of it too is like the subject matter I find like not disturbing, but it's just not something I really want to experience again, you know? Just like hyper violent garbage people and I also think like Sopranos like sent a lot of things in motion.
Uh-huh.
That we just can't really escape from, especially in the Northeast here.
Yeah, I have that same. Yes, that's kind of how I feel. Like during the Sopranos, I felt like a little bit of like, oh boy, here we go. And then you know, it's kind of, and then it was the Jersey Shore, and there I guess there was a guy named Vinny on there too, and it was like, oh boy,
you're talking about impressions and stereotypes and
just,
stuff of like
Northeast. It was when I had to start using Vincent everywhere I went to be like, no, it's Vincent from California, from San Francisco, and be like, oh, Vinny from the Jersey City, and be like,
yeah,
oh boy, yeah.
I like your impression of people doing that impression.
Vinny from New York, you know,
the thing that show changed the culture of New Jersey and it did, right, Vinny? Like it absolutely had a tangible impact.
I was still in New York at the time, but I was still in New York, but I was basically Long Island, so it was basically New Jersey. So it was but at the end, when did that show come out? Like
2000?
Sopranos was like late 90s.
It's so, when it started in the late
90s. 99 yeah. was the first season,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So like yeah. It was, yeah, it definitely, I mean, listen, Jersey went from being a toxic dump to being much more mafia based. That was the thing. Like,
can't it be both?
It was definitely,
I think it was both,
but like the jokes were always New Jersey is the dumping ground of New York and it smells bad and all that
that's
stuff.
Every SNL joke, as someone who grew up in the Midwest, it's like, that's all you knew is like somebody would just like a wrestler would shit on it, or a Weekend Update joke would be about Jersey being stinky or something. You know?
And I think it went from that to being like, oh, it's just crime. It's just all crime all the way down. And then after that, from the Jersey Shore,
it's also drunken yahoos.
Yeah. Then it went to like, oh, it's just the worst people imaginable that want like, you know, social media stardom and don't go. It just went Jersey Shore. And then I moved here and I brought it all back.
I'm almost like jealous, even though they were like negative things, like growing up in Kansas.
Oh yeah, nobody's ever had a bad thing to say about Kansas.
Yeah. nothing's ever set there. Like no video game, there's no Tony Hawk levels
like
in Kansas.
That's the most famous movie ever made.
Yeah, yeah, a movie that came out in fucking 1920 that fucking every time you go to an airport, you're like, oh, not in Kansas anymore.
Also, in real life, 7 minutes of that movie takes place in Kansas.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, yeah, Kansas can't be holding on to Wizard of Oz.
Exactly. So that's the thing I hear about like modern prestige television like being set in your state, like numerous different pieces of pop culture being set in and around your state. That sounded so cool to me, where it's like Kansas is just like, when people talk about that, it's like, oh, fly over it. I don't know.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, the whole country was obsessed with New Jersey for a decade because of that show.
And then we had Chris Christie. we were obsessed again for a little bit.
I mean, I always say this, but like, there's a lot of things that were like, what was worse for the state, right? Like, was it the Jersey Shore, Chris Christie, or Hurricane Sandy? Like, I don't know.
They're all natural disasters.
They're all natural disasters.
I've said this before. Growing up from New York, I had to kind of instinctively hate Jersey. But, like, Jersey's kind of awesome.
But where'd you settle down?
But I settled down in Jersey because it's the most diverse state in the union. It's actually kind of amazing. And there are fantastic people here, and it doesn't smell that bad where I am.
And the food's great.
The food's fantastic. The only real problem I have with Jersey are the goddamn turnpikes and how I cannot get to Bacalar's house, which I could basically see from my backyard, without taking an hour and a half trip through like insane. seven like highways and turnpikes. It's a real bummer. But yeah, Jersey's fantastic. Now,
do they let you back in Long Island after you say things like that?
Well, see, this is it.
This is how I get out of Long Island.
But Alex, you know how it goes. It's a one-way street, okay?
Yeah. You can't. Yeah. Okay.
And to be completely fair, I have a lot of friends who make that one-way trip, and more often than not, it's from Long Island to New Jersey.
It's like they have like like those spike strips where you can only drive over them one
way.
Exactly.
Once you back up, you blow out every time.
They're just on the LIE. They're just like, oh, I see. You're from Long Island. Oh, I see. No, it's like the opposite of a PBA card. Like, oh no, we're gonna double your fines. You went over there, huh? You can't come back.
It's totally true.
The irony being that you're all basically the same people.
Oh, it's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same people.
It's one contiguous landmass with Manhattan in the middle. It's like
someone just jabbed a fucking knife in between a big Italian sandwich.
Right. It's true. But I will say this. The further out east you get on the island, it starts to really change in a way where you're like,
That's the same thing with
this
Jersey.
Kansas?
Yeah, you get to South Jersey.
Yeah,
what does Cape May have to do with the rest of Jersey?
Well, so this is what's nuts to me. Listen, as someone from the outside Long Island, like Brooklyn and Queens are on Long Island, right?
Technically, there's county, the county line is where it separates, but yes.
But looking at a map, right, I'm not wrong in saying that like there's Manhattan Island there, Long Island, and Brooklyn and Queens is on that, right?
Yes. In the same way that like, you know, Maine and Connecticut are on the same mass of land, like, yeah.
Yes, you're right. Just, yes, they are part of Long Island.
Well,
yes.
they're also part of New York State, so it's not really even that different. It's just that there is a county split where it's like, this part is New York City, this part is not.
So if people say Long Island, they are never referring to Queens or
Never. They really mean Nassau County, and sometimes they mean Suffolk.
if they're willing to admit they're from Long Island, they have enough shame that they know if they said they were from New York City, that would go badly for them.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
You can only go so far east before you can't say you're in Brooklyn anymore.
Yeah. I feel like Bayside is like really on the border there.
Yeah, totally.
You're from New York. Where are you from in New York? Babylon. Get the fuck out of here.
Okay.
Right, Alex, am I going to see you at a tennis stadium in Queens next month again?
Probably not this time.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't have to wear a Luta mask this time to hide my identity. So
I know. You must feel so free now being able to peruse other products publicly.
Yes. Absolutely.
Wait, did you guys run into each other?
Yeah.
We were at the AEW last year. A Luta mask and a COVID mask to hide my identity.
God, I love it. That's great. Hide your identity.
I didn't know you saw each other.
We were in the same section.
I was like five rows ahead of you, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it coincidental or did you guys plan?
I just buy my Lucha mask for fun. I don't buy them to hide my identity.
Yes.
Did you guys plan it or did you just run into each other?
I think I knew you were going, but we got tickets from the same place. Yeah. And so I think it was in the same, it was like a friends and family section.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah. Okay. Yep. That's great. The image of you with a Lucha mask and that beard is frightening to me.
Well, the second I got out of the Uber, someone looked at me and was like, Dan, Giant Bomb? And I was like, I don't think this works. All right.
It was Alex. That's funny. Yeah. I mean, that Jersey's great. Long Island's great. Upstate New York is pretty good. Manhattan's fantastic. It's a great area.
You know what I like?
Western Jersey.
I love the Catskills. I love like that. I love it up there. I love like Woodstock.
You been to Kerhonkson?
Maybe.
I like
there's like a ton of little villages and whatever the fuck.
I know that's
there.
What that place is called, but I feel like the way you said it would make people from there upset.
I think you said Karhoxen.
Dude, that's the thing. No one's upset up there. They're all super chill.
It is. It's hippie town up there.
It is. And I am not in any way, I don't identify as a hippie, but like there is something real nice up in the mountains.
You
there
share a kinship.
Yeah, like it's just really chilled, really laid back. We were talking about like, you know, we're not there yet by any stretch, but like the joke in my house is like Stacy will retire in Florida and I will retire in Vermont and we will see each other, you know, twice a year.
Because your child will settle somewhere in the middle, so it's an equidistant trip.
You know, like I just don't want to be anywhere where it's hot all year round. Oh, you know, I can't do it. You know, like my, you know, all four of my grandparents retired to Florida and I know my parents won't do that. Like they are not going to do that. I feel like I could retire up there, like in that mountainy Hudson Valley kind of area. It's awesome. That's love great. It there.
I'm going to go to Kansas.
Okay.
No one has ever said that.
I'm retiring in Minnesota. Do Kansas. Yeah.
No one's ever said, hey, you want to go on vacation to Kansas?
No, it doesn't happen. Unless you're like the world's biggest barbecue fanatic. Yeah.
Or you're from Nebraska, I guess.
If anyone has any tips on running into Letterman, I'm like 12 minutes from where he lives. So I just, I'm not running into him.
Have you tried knocking on his door with a fake press pass?
Yeah, just print one out. That's
yeah,
good.
Late show CBS press. Yeah. I'm going to go raid the old CBS.
Mr. Letterman, you're on in 10 minutes.
just wear that luchador mask.
Get
dude.
Your old CBS badge and like, print it out and be like, what is this? It's interactive. It's just let's you're great. Do the pencil thing.
Something BlackRock. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Doesn't he do a show with people like driving in cars, interviewing people?
No, he did. His Comedians in Cars episode with Seinfeld was all shot right around where I live. So it's like now I watch that episode and it's like, oh, that's the grocery store. That's the Stu Leonard's. That's the, you know, like.
But he doesn't have his own? I thought he had his own.
He doesn't have his own grocery store? Well, he's got his Netflix show.
He does like an interview show.
But it's like so not like what I come to Letterman for. Like it's like him having like thoughtful interviews with philanthropists and stuff.
He's not being like a jokester.
I need him doing just like raging against NBC. Like he was, unfortunately, he was way more entertaining when he was deeply unhappy, it turns out. And now he's actually found peace and retirement and his family. And he's just very just at peace and, you know, doing good and having these thoughtful conversations. And it's like, I want to see you strapping a camera to a monkey and, you know.
You brought up something we have to just touch on just for a second, because I just went to my first one a couple months ago. Stu Leonard's. Yeah. Oh, my God.
They got animatronics in there.
Yo.
The hell's a Stu Leonard's?
Ooh, oh, look it up. They got characters. They got things where you ring a bell and a bunch of animatronic cows. It's like Chuck E. Cheese mixed with a fucking grocery store. It's great.
I think there's one in Parsippany.
Oh, that can't exist.
No, it's great. We were blown away.
So it's basically like a Wegmans, but like kind of inexplicably better. Like it's more, there's only a couple of them, right? There's only like six of them in New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. And they're like very like home baked goods, but like superstore.
Lots of sugary baked stuff and everything.
Like amazing.
A lot of cheese, a lot of dairy
stuff.
Is it like
an Entenmann's location, but bigger?
No, but it's just like a lot of fresh stuff made on the premises.
I can't stress the animatronics enough. They're like
I was in Long Island.
I need a clarification on what the fuck this is.
I went to one in Long Island. I forget what fucking town I was in. Stu Leonard's.
S-T-E-W Leonard's.
Yeah. I went on a trip. I was on like a guy's ski trip in February.
To Long Island?
No.
Of course not.
Like,
why would they?
And one of my buddies basically bought all the food we ate from Stu Leonard's and brought it up because he lives in Connecticut. And I was just like blown away. I was like, this food is so fresh and delicious. And he was describing this.
They got a in the parking lot? You can like pet a goat before you go in?
Oh, I didn't see that. That changes things a little bit. But
yeah.
All right, the first image I'm seeing on their website is of what looks like a college football coach hugging a man in a cow suit. So
that sounds about right.
They're really into like farm animals there and shit.
Yeah.
Can you buy the farm animals?
You buy the stuff they make.
This looks like a nightmare. There's like a giant banana with a dress. Vinny,
you would like it. I'm telling you.
Are you sure?
I'm looking at this banana.
This, are you sure there's a cow?
Like
a Fortnite
That's character. A weirdly sexy banana, dude. I don't know about this. I don't know about this at all.
All these images are terrible.
There's some good food. There's some good.
Yeah, it's really
there.
Good stuff.
You'd be very like they make their own potato chips. Yo, oh my god, those were so.
There's
got to
be some dark secret at the center of this place.
Oh,
right?
We don't want to pry into that. We don't want to disrupt the illusion.
It's,
you know,
this isn't good.
No, it's good.
It's very good.
There's something wrong with that banana.
The guy who I think is Stu, man, that is a really puffy red guy.
Yeah, he's a puffy dude.
That is a guy who definitely looks like his doctor tells him to lay off the cholesterol.
Well, the whole store is like cholesterol city. Yeah.
I was in the Farmingdale one, Vinny.
Okay. Farmingdale. I got family in Farmingdale.
There's one in Paramus.
Oh. We got like photo booths and stuff where it like puts you on a scene with a cow.
Dude, it's a spectacle. You bring the kids and then like they've got all, like Dan said, there's all this animatronic shit all over the place. It's funny. Absolutely funny. Just give it a shot. We'll go.
Okay.
We'll go together.
This guy looks like the auctioneer from Storage Wars.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably got a lot of medical issues, but
no, not medical issues. Like he looks like he's gonna have steam shooting out of his ears.
Well, it's actually gonna be just cholesterol coming out of his ears.
There's just like a cow here with like a child petting it, but it's looking back. You know, but then they're also just buying beef over there.
Yeah. Like, you know what it is? You know what it is? You know how like this area, and I'm sure other places in the country are like they freak out over Halloween now. Like Halloween is like. The way the farm makes all the money now, and
from,
it's
like,
pumpkins
and the
yeah, and like it starts September 1st and goes to like the end of November or whatever the fuck. If that became a huge grocery store,
oh man,
I heard it's all trunk or treat stuff now. Do they still do trick or treat?
What the fuck's that?
I heard that trick or treating they don't do anymore, and it's all trunk or treats.
No, we have trick or treaters here.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't let that kind of crap on my doorstep.
Exactly. We wanted to be the cool house that had all the full size fucking Snickers bars and stuff. So we bought a ton of full size bunch of different bars so kids could have a choice and everything. We didn't have a single trick or treater last year. We sat around and watched movies and we were ready
to
go.
That's the saddest fucking thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, we had this whole thing. We gave it to like FedEx guys and stuff for the next week. But
what the hell's wrong with your neighborhood? How do you not have any kids
there? It's all the damn high schoolers speeding down the road. Parents don't want to bring their kids down this death trap road because of all the high schoolers driving too fast.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. And we had the city put in some speed signs.
Oh, good for you. Some civic action.
I talked to a comptroller or something.
Yeah.
And they came down and I went out and talked to them. I said, thanks, guys, for doing this. This is,
No shit.
Yeah. These fucking kids, man. They do donuts. We got a roundabout and the kids do fucking donuts up there.
Wow, those kids, those teens.
These punks.
I objectively, I think you are right and did the right thing, but I am really having, I'm like just an internal war with the part of me that just wants to call you the lamest motherfucker alive.
I don't care. I hear them revving their engines and doing their stuff and like, listen, somebody's going to get hit.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, again, that is the reasonable, right thing to do, but also what a fucking narc.
I love that you found the most Kansas ass part of Connecticut to live in.
There's no sidewalks.
That's what you
everyone
found.
Has, there's people walking their kids. Do you walk kids? I don't know. There's people with strollers and stuff and they're walking on the street and then these damn kids driving fucking 70 down a 25.
I want to thank you, Dan, for taking it back around. And I just want you to say one more thing for me before we go. Hey, you're definitely not screaming, so I appreciate it.
No.
But I want you to say these damn kids speed around with their blue smoke.
these damn kids speeding around with their blue smoke. Until I do this.
Their rap music.
No. Until I do this, I'm not fully my grandpa. I remember being at a red light with him when I was a kid, and we were parked and waiting for the light to change. There was one car in front of us, and the guy in front of us was just kind of like bouncing his head to the music, you know? Uh-huh. And my grandpa's just like, he's like grumbling. And I was like, what's the problem? And he goes, look at him up there. He's just shaking his head, just hipping and a hopping and a bipping and a bopping.
Oh, I remember this.
Until I say bipping and a bopping derisively.
I hold you to it.
I regret to inform you, Dan, you have closed the distance on that one. It is not far off.
Yeah, right, exactly. You're an egging away. Did you check to make sure next to your snake poop there wasn't a brick that says Dial Man next to it?
It's like, I'm going to get the mayor on the horn.
I don't know why.
Snakes in my basement.
That story you just told reminded me of a story that happened with my mom when we were driving. I remember it was like the first time I ever got to ride in the front seat of the car. I don't know why I just remember that. It was like a big deal. It's like 11 or 12 years old, whatever it is. And driving, you know, the world is so new up there. You spent your whole childhood in the back seat and you're just like, whatever, get in the front seat. It's like, oh, fuck. Serious business up here.
Yes.
You know, we were at a stoplight and there was people to our left and they were just playing music, not super loud, but like fake drumming. Uh-huh. Totally benign.
Rocking
like
out.
The most, yeah, Punks. Not, but like Punks. Not cursing, not being bipping a nuisance, and a bopping. Not even bipping or bopping.
Okay.
My mom goes to me. No, they seemed perfectly fine. My mom turns to me. She goes, if you ever drive like that, I'll fucking kill you.
Wow.
Like, that is what she said to me. And I'm just like, I'm a good boy back then. I'm just like, haha, okay, mom, like whatever. And then, what the fuck was that?
And then the guy stopped doing the drum solo and looked over at you and winked and like had like a flame tattoo on his arm or something. And puffed like, some blue smoke. And then
he's like, this is your future.
Yeah. Like, and was like, I think he's a hockey player, mom. I think that's Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, what a fucking wild moment I just had time traveling like
that. Kelly Rudy, mom!
That's the only one. Can't trust those drummers.
It's Gordie Howe.
Yeah.
It's Gordie Howe.
All right, let's wrap this one up. Boy, howdy. Yeah. Dan, I hope you figure out what's going on with your snake in your basement.
I'll update you. I'm sure it'll be resolved by the time this airs in like late 2027.
That's right, yeah. The snake will be moved in.
I'm just going to give you one last piece of advice. Have you considered keeping the snake and becoming the next Jake the Snake Roberts?
Yeah, claim it as a dependent.
Oh, I'm only Jake the Snake if I let like 19 of them die under my care, so.
No, be better than him.
I'd like to think.
Yeah, low bar, Alex.
I mentioned real this very
he seems like a well-liked guy now, but he's had some times.
No, he had some problems.
Yes.
Backlard, thank you very much. Feel free to drive like that whenever you want in my company.
I do, man.
Yeah.
Not in Connecticut.
Live your life. My friend drove my son home with their kids, and I told the story on another podcast, but it was the first time he sat in the front seat, and his friend said, Max, you gotta live life.
He's right. He's right. It's a whole different ballgame in the ball front. Game.
You gotta live, man.
Every day my kid's like, can I do it today? And I'm like, no, dude, you got like 2 years from now. Yeah. Like, chill, dude. You can't wait.
He's just like crossing off days on the calendar, like shaky hands.
He's like, I'm probably heavy enough for an airbag, right? I'm probably heavy enough now. I'm like, I don't know, dude.
The airbag itself is heavier than you.
I want to be in that backseat with all those buckles. That's put me back there.
It seems more, at this point, it seems more fun back there.
Alex, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see your Lucha Mask collection. I know you have expanded it. I'm going to make you that shelf someday.
I'm now at the brink. If I add even one.
How many do you have?
It's all going to topple over.
How many do you have?
Like good ones?
Yeah, like ones you display.
9.
Nice.
That's good. Are they all on mannequin heads?
Yes, they are.
Oh my gosh, you have 9 mannequin heads?
Well, that's not a problem.
Well, I have some other ones too, but those are ones that just have like my cheap repro masks on that
That's so cool. Good for you.
Al Snow had 83,000 of them.
I was trying to think of a good Al Snow joke. Good job, Matt Clark.
Thank you. I did a wrestling thing.
Yeah, nice.
All right. Thanks, you guys. We'll be back next month with more Never Been a Better Podcast. See ya.